everyone. Thank you for joining us for another installment of the Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I'm your host today, Matthew DiMaggio. Today we are accompanied by Pedro Marcel, Lead Portfolio Manager of Aquila Opportunity Growth Fund. Thanks for being here today, Pedro.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I want to open here by speaking about the Aquila Opportunity Growth Fund. Could you tell us a little bit about your current positioning in the fund and how you're managing in this environment?
Let's start with a recap of 2023, which was a roller coaster year. The equity markets delivered strong positive total returns across all capitalization ranges in the U.S. in 2023. Last year started with a banking crisis resulting in several bank failures, which led the Federal Reserve to inject the financial system with over $400 billion in liquidity and helped rally stocks for much of the first half of the year. As the Fed then began draining some of this liquidity, the markets experienced a correction in the third quarter of the year, only to rally again in the fourth quarter, largely driven by more favorable inflation levels as well as a decline in yields. Equity prices also received support from positive corporate earnings during the year and employment data, lower energy prices, particularly in oil and gas prices, and improving inflation data. Tempering these were geopolitical situations that persisted in Ukraine and the heightened tensions in the Middle East and fear of further escalation in both those conflicts. Now, the fourth quarter was really a sight to behold. Particularly after the weakness in the third quarter, equity markets produced strong and positive returns across all capitalization ranges during the fourth quarter of the year. So where we are now as we enter the first quarter of 2024, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury are continuing to exert an enormous amount of influence on markets. And, you know, while the Fed's official policy, their sort of stated policy, continues to be one of quantitative tightening or QT, the reality is a little more complex, with QT only impacting the Fed's balance sheet. Overall, the Fed, in conjunction with the Treasury, is pursuing a policy of what we at Aquila are calling quantitative neutrality, or QM. And that's as measured by domestic liquidity, and that is equal to bank credit reserves, or bank reserve credit, less the U.S. general account of the Treasury at the Fed and less the Federal Reserve reverse repo program. So when you examine the data, you find that domestic liquidity in the U.S. financial system has actually increased by $254 billion from $5.89 trillion since the Fed began reducing its overall balance sheet in the middle of 2022 to $6.14 trillion at the end of, you know, 2023. So that's like December 31st of 2023. And that's pretty remarkable, right? They shrunk the balance sheet and increased liquidity in the financial system. So that said, in the past 12 months, the Treasury and the Fed have increased domestic liquidity during the year by $332 billion from $5.81 trillion at the end of 2022 to $6.14 trillion at the end of 2023. And impressively, the Fed was able to achieve this increase in liquidity while shrinking its balance sheet of securities held by over $1.25 trillion. So it may be that the Treasury and the Fed will finally begin implementing their stated policy of quantitative tightening, or they may end the shrinking of the balance sheet before quantitative tightening really begins. From a liquidity point of view, this could be positive for risk assets and mid-cap equities. So while we continue to take the view that the Fed will pursue a more quantitative neutral-oriented policy in the near term, we're watching the data and monitoring the situation closely. So while we're cautious about the overall equity markets, and we are optimistic about prospects for 2024.
Fantastic detail on the markets, Pedro. So where are we today? Are we still cautiously optimistic about the equity markets? And what does that really mean?
Well, we're cautious overall about equities, but we're very optimistic about mid-cap stocks. So during the fourth quarter of 2023, the fund's investment management team increased positions in healthcare, in information technology and communication services sectors, while reducing our weightings in utility, energy, and consumer staples. And we're still fairly overweight energy. But we basically, you know, during that quarter, increased sort of economic sensitive areas and growth-oriented areas and decreased, you know, utilities and consumer staples, right, more defensive sectors. So you can see by the movement of the portfolio that we are more optimistic. At present, we remain overweight energy as we believe there will be an upward move in oil prices related to the sort of factors we talked about, you know, the war in Ukraine and the heightened instability in the Middle East. And, you know, in 2024, in the first quarter, we've seen some of that. We're currently underweight financials in anticipation of these sort of continued elevated interest rates and ongoing tightening cycle by the Fed. In Q4, we increased our position in the healthcare sector to overweight, as we believe valuations were very attractive, and they still are. We favor companies in that sector that are taking cost actions to adjust to sort of the lower demand that they've seen post-COVID, thus improving sort of their long-term earnings profile. And separately, we remain underweight the industrial sector and prefer companies that are benefiting from manufacturing moving onshore, something that people are calling reshoring, and the electric grid network upgrades that are taking place. For the materials sector, we are overweight and favor companies that benefit from, again, manufacturing moving domestically, which would include things like steel and aggregates, and also lithium producers. While we're concerned over sort of the electric vehicle growth resulting in weak demand for battery-grade lithium, we see the market, you know, really quickly rebalancing, and it will adjust to this. So we're actually adding to our positions in lithium. Finally, we're overweight information technology in the comm sector. We continue to overweight semiconductors, software, communications equipment companies that are leveraged to artificial intelligence, vehicle electrification, cloud infrastructure, cybersecurity. We think the systems and software that run on increasingly diverse and complex silicon will result in more sustainable growth than the market is currently discounting. So we're overweight, we're optimistic about those areas.
Pedro, let's talk now about Aquila's discipline investment and research process. Can you give us the details behind that?
Philosophically, we have two core beliefs about investing. First, growing earnings and cash flow lead to capital appreciation of stock. And second, markets are inefficient in how they recognize, price, and react to change. So there is a compelling amount of behavioral finance research that supports our view that markets have difficulty recognizing and reacting to change. And it really centers around the concept of hysteresis, or delayed response to change. So we believe the most attractive investments are in companies benefiting from a positive change, where companies have a strong business model that enables them to monetize that change into higher earnings and cash flows, and where the impact of this change is not recognized and valued by the market. And we use a four-step investment process. First, we identify the material positive change, which can be internal and company-specific, or external and driven by the environment in which the company operates. For example, a change could be a new product development cycle, a new management team, a regulatory change. Once we identify a change, our second step is to analyze the company's business model to assess the sustainability of the change. We found through experience that strong businesses generally have what we refer to as moats that protect their businesses from competition. These protective business model characteristics generally fall into five categories: a strong brand, protected intellectual property, protected licenses, dominant market positioning, or a resource advantage. And that can be, you know, a commodity or natural resource in the ground, or even just like a unique distribution channel. Some companies have more than one moat, but typically one moat is most dominant and drives the business model. Our third step is to quantify the impact of the change by carefully modeling the financials of each company. We build bull and bear case earnings expectations that may differ from our base case and incorporate different scenarios for the impact of the change. Our fourth step relates to valuation. We utilize our model as well as historical sector trading information to build 1, 3, and 5-year price targets. We determine if there is potential material upside to our price target. We also review street estimates of earnings and price targets to get a sense of whether the market expectations match our own. We consider adding companies to our portfolio only after they have passed through all of these steps in our evaluation process, thereby providing us with the confidence in our upside projections to the price target.
I think we can all appreciate how thorough the team's process is. To take it a step further, could you give us an example of what your last point looks like in practice, maybe a story of a stock you currently own?
Sure. So right now, at time of taping, we own a position in Arista Networks, which is a technology company that supplies network fabric infrastructure and software for the cloud. We began actually investing in this company in October of 2021, after we began managing the portfolio. The company's clients are big social media and cloud computing firms. The change we identified is their new product, which is an infinitely scalable software-defined routing and switching network, which we believe is still years ahead of the competition. The company has patents, intellectual property, and an incredible brand, which creates a large moat and makes their business model sustainable, in our opinion. We anticipate that increased earnings and cash flow from this new product cycle will lead to share price appreciation in excess of our current target threshold. So this networking company is growing their earnings, right, benefiting from change both at the company level, you know, the new product cycle, and in the environment, which is like, you know, increased demand for cloud computing and the rise of AI. And it's, you know, a position in the portfolio.
Pedro, thank you for speaking about Arista Networks specifically. You know, in addition to what you're buying and what you have, it would be great to hear about your sell discipline and what kind of triggers that.
Well, we have a strict sell discipline. There are generally three reasons why we'd sell a company. The first is the investment has succeeded and is fully valued, so we take profits. It's a really great way of doing it. The second is the stock, you know, is unseated by a more attractive investment opportunity because we run fully invested. So in order to buy a stock, you have to sell a stock. So every new idea challenges all the holdings in the portfolio and drives the portfolio towards strength and away from weakness. And the third is a negative change in the company, and, you know, it no longer meets our investment criteria. So those would be the three reasons we'd sell a company.
Simple but thoughtful. Thank you. What's your process for identifying new ideas for the portfolio?
We typically source ideas from three places. First, we utilize sector-specific screens to review the entire investable mid-cap universe. Second, the analysts find ideas through their regular readings and conversations with management teams and industry contacts. And third, we also identify sort of larger overarching changes or sort of big picture themes that we think are going to drive opportunities over time. And a few of these big picture ideas that we're investing in the Aquila Opportunity Growth Fund are, for example, the electrification of transportation. And that's sort of one of the themes that led us to initiate a position in Coherent. And electrification requires, you know, electronics, right, and batteries, right? And so the electronics for high voltage applications like electric vehicles require silicon carbide chips, both inside the traction inverter or the motor, as well as for the charging station. So a typical wall socket that, you know, we plug into is 120 volts of electricity, but fast charging car stations require 480 volts, and it gets really hot when that much power passes through the circuit. And so chips made from silicon carbide are able to function efficiently at high temperatures with less cooling and smaller sizes and a longer life, and therefore they're ideal for these types of uses. So inside charging stations and inside cars that are electric, you know, there's a huge demand for them. And Coherent is a profitable, well-run company in this area, and they're a huge beneficiary of the sort of rapid adoption of electric vehicles. Another beneficiary is the battery, obviously, and because, you know, electric vehicles require batteries, and that requires lithium because people are using lithium-ion batteries. And so the fund invests in a company called Lithium Americas, which is currently in the process of developing a huge resource, by far the biggest in the United States, one of the biggest in the world, at Thacker Pass in Nevada here in the U.S.
Pedro, you've shared so much today. Of course, we appreciate the level of detail and really thorough answers. Could you summarize a few of your answers for a few key takeaways for our listeners?
Sure. Well, we're cautiously optimistic, but I think our caution is more about the overall equity markets. But we're very optimistic about many of the companies that we've been investing in. I think part of that is driven by seeing many of these companies being acquired in the last year. So cautious about equities, optimistic about mid-cap equities. I think, well, we believe, you know, there are a lot of attractive and compelling opportunities out there. Investors should be prepared for sort of continued volatility as the Fed shrinks its balance sheet and liquidity changes and rates remain high. And there's still a lot of uncertainty out there. So expect it to be a roller coaster like it was last year. You know, we at Aquila on the Opportunity Growth Fund, we take an active approach to portfolio management. We have a disciplined investment and research process, and we believe that the most attractive investments are companies benefiting from a positive change, where companies have a strong business model that enables to monetize that change into higher earnings and cash flows, and where the impact of that change is not recognized and valued by the market.
Well, that sums up our questions for today. Thank you to our listeners, and thank you, as always, Pedro, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The information is general in nature and is not intended to provide investment, accounting, tax, or legal advice. It is not intended to represent a recommendation or solicitation related to any particular investment, security, or industry sector. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio manager and do not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor of the fund. The fund's investment objective is capital appreciation. The fund's investment strategy focuses on factors specific to each investment, such as an improving balance sheet and an improving leverage ratio. Equity holdings could be described as growth or value, small cap, mid cap, or large cap. Information regarding holdings is subject to change and is not necessarily representative of the entire portfolio. A complete list of the fund's current holdings, including percentage allocations, is available on our website and by contacting Aquila Group of Funds. Securities of the companies referenced were portfolio holdings of Aquila Opportunity Growth Fund, represented as a percentage of the fund's total portfolio as of 12/31/2023. Arista Networks, Inc., 1.40%, and Coherent Corporation, 0.49%. The S&P 500 index is a stock index weighted by market capitalization representative of the 500 largest U.S. companies. An investment cannot be made directly in an index. Performance of an index does not reflect management fees and expenses, which are reflected in the fund's performance. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Please refer to the fund's perspectives for a complete description of risks associated with an investment in the fund. These include, but are not limited to, potential loss of value, market risk, financial risk, interest rate and credit risk, and investments in highly leveraged companies, lower quality debt securities, foreign markets, and foreign currencies. Before investing in the fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund's prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor and when you call 1-800-437-1020 or visit www.aquilafunds.com.